America. We pray that you will continue to bless us as we serve you and seek to be a people worthy of your love. Lord God, as we come together as a church, we pray that you're here by your Holy Spirit among us. And speak now, Lord God, for we're listening. Speak a word of love and a word of hope and a word of peace and a word of joy. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. My sermon title today is Team Effort. Recently, Pastor Ronnie Floyd shared the moving story of missionary Howard Borden on Fox News. In the early 1990s, 16-year-old William Whiten Borden graduated from the Hill School in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, a prestigious boarding school known for sending its alumni to Princeton University. He was an heir to the Borden family mining fortune and had a clear path to wealth and success set before him. But before Borden began his Ivy League education at Yale University, his parents sent him on a year-long trip around the world as a graduation present. Early in his life, Borden had come to Christ, and while traveling the world, something happened that no one expected. He was moved by the spiritual and physical needs of the people around the world. Borden wrote a letter to his parents and informed them he wanted to spend his life as a missionary. One of his friends remarked that becoming a missionary would be tantamount to throwing one's life away. Upon his return, Borden went on to Yale and graduated. He then studied and graduated from Princeton Theological Seminary. When his ministry preparation was completed, he boarded a ship to Asia to serve among Muslims in China's Gansu province. Along the way, he stopped in Cairo and learned Arabic and studied Islam. In Egypt, Borden contracted spinal meningitis. Less than a month later, he was dead. He was only 25 years old. Borden had walked away from his fortune to take the gospel of Jesus to the nations of the world. Most regarded his death as a tragedy. However, God took the tragedy and did something far greater than Borden could ever do himself. When young men and women read Borden's story in the newspapers of America, it inspired them to leave all they had and to give up their lives to preach to the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's rumored that at key points in his life, Borden wrote a series of phrases in his Bible. While he struggled with his desire to become a missionary against his father's heavy disapproval, he wrote, "No reserves." Toward the end of his time in Yale, where he had started a Bible study attended by 3/4 of his school student population, he wrote, "No retreats." As he lay dying of spinal meningitis in Cairo, he wrote, "No regrets." He had a desire to serve Jesus, and even in death, he would serve Jesus, even in death. One writer says, an adventure with God. The great offer of the gospel is adventure, where we are God's representative, where we become God's representative. Many folks spend their lives spreading the gospel. And as the scripture reminded us last week, that Jesus said to his disciples, when you put your hands to the plow, you shouldn't look back. Keep moving forward. And we are all called to spread the gospel in many different ways and many different circumstances. And there's a song that Mahalia Jackson used to sing, and it says, if I can help someone as I pass along, if I can cheer someone with a word or song, if I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. Then my living will not be in vain. Then my living will not be in vain. If I can help someone as I pass along, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can do my duty as a Christian oft, if I can bring back beauty to a world uproar, if I can spread God's love that the Master's taught, then my living will not be in vain. Always wonder about the spreading of the gospel and our call by Jesus Christ. And throughout our lives, you know, we are all called by Jesus differently. We are called to serve in the church. This morning in our Bible study, when we were looking at 1 Corinthians, we are reminded that we have many different spiritual gifts. And then there are many different offices in the church. And some of us are called for, you know, to sing in the choir. Some of us are called to, you know, to administration, to the finance committee. Some of us, but it all should be led by the spiritual gifts that the Lord has placed in our heart. And once we answer our call to serve God in whatever capacity, we must make every effort not to turn back. No turning back. Note, because God chooses to use us as his representatives. I've always thought about this, and whenever time people serve with me in any capacity, I always say to them, thank you for serving. The Lord thanks you for serving. God will use anybody. God will use anyone. Throughout the Bible, there is a primary way that faith has been passed down. We are here to pass what we believe down to others who come. We see Moses training Joshua how to lead. We see Eli as he trained Samuel on how to pray. We see Jesus teaching his apostles how to follow him and how to lead. We see Timothy's grandmother, Lois. She trains up her daughter, Eunice, who trains up her son, Timothy. And Paul calls Titus his son in faith. When it comes to helping people grow into spiritual maturity, the Bible gives us a clear set of principles. The older should teach the younger, and those more mature in faith should guide those who are newer in faith. We see that all the time. We have a responsibility, even as members of this local church. We are called to serve the Lord. We are called to do God's work. And many folks, I'm just trying to get my mic because it's in my pocket here. And many folks are called, just trying to get it, make sure it's not too loud. Is that all right? Okay. And many folks are called to do work in the church. And there's no greater or smaller work in the church. There is no greater or smaller. To God, it's all important. Whatever we do for God and whatever we can do for the Lord. Yes, I'm called to be a priest in God's church. It is just an office of the church, and sometimes the responsibilities are greater. But to God, as I said to the Bible study class this morning, to God, there is no greater or smaller work. Right? On earth, there is. In the local church and what we do in life, but to God, all when we say yes to serving the Lord, it means yes to serving the Lord, and we should be proud to do it and to continue to serve God. And so here is the story today. I know the text was read, and this Naaman story, it is a good story. I'm going to summarize it for you. Naaman, who was an officer in the Aram army, right? And as I said, my sermon title is, it takes a team, right? It takes a team effort. It takes team effort to put it all together, doesn't it, friends? Yeah, I mean, as simple as you see it looks here on a Sunday, sometimes when folks make a critique of what we're doing, I always smile to myself and I says, maybe they'd like to come and help us. Right? Maybe they'd like to come and help us. That we really try to do our best to make it go as smoothly as we can, but we're human beings. And when we come out here on a Sunday morning, we are trying to put the pieces together. And the pieces are made by human beings, and so they all don't work all the time. But our heart is in it, right? We do not plan to fail in front of all of you so you could have something to critique us by. And when we do something and we step a little bit out of line, maybe you will just pray for us. How about praying for us and say, Lord, have mercy upon them. Help them, Holy Spirit. Shouldn't it? You know, I like today. Today we have this, the bishop sent something in the mail. You found it, right? Bishop sent something in the mail to all of us a month ago. A little flask with a little thing. And he says we should light it, not just us, all the churches, as his gift, light it at communion time and put it in a thing. And I remembered it this week. Last week I brought it, and here it is. We got it all set. I gave it to Ron to give it to Zamzam, and somehow in between the week got lost. That wasn't our intent. So I just said to them, when we're all looking for the week, I said, don't worry about it. Just, we'll do it another time. We'll find the week. Because our intent, see that little light, there is a little card that says what it means. And every church now, every Methodist church, if they are remembered today, who's having service at 10 o'clock or whatever time, will have that light, signifying the light of Christ. The bishop sent a little card, which I was going to read. So we're all trying to serve, and God uses many different things for us to serve. You know, this is not that when people come and sit and fold their hand and sit and critique. We are at this all week. Trying to do from Angel and Ron, making sure things are clean. And when I see a paper clip, I'm calling them to tell them there's something on the ground. Right? We are constantly at it. We look at the benches. There are the ushers who try to clean up and take the things that you all leave on the seats. Right? We walk out and leave. There are people who are doing it. They're not paid people who are doing it. They're serving the Lord because they've heard God's call. When you leave a piece of paper and you stick things in here and they're all over the place, there's somebody who comes after you to pick it up and to clean up. Serving the Lord takes a team, right? When I look over here, sometimes I see a little bit of dust. Poor Ron, I text him. I says, Ron, you know, we really got to dust this again. Right? Because we're trying our best to make it look as best as we can to serve God, as imperfect as we are. Yes, we have had some trouble with the sound system, and we're trying to figure it out, and Mike has tried, Doc Mike has tried to do what he can, and he has been here yesterday in the heat. We don't want it to sound bad. I don't think Doc gets up and says, I really want it to sound bad on Sunday so you could all look, but we're trying to figure it out, and when we need help, we'll get help. It's all part of the process, right? Because there are those who they believe their call is to criticize. But there's no call in the Bible to criticize. I know the Bible well. You've got to tell me the chapter and verse called criticize. It is about what we can do together as a team. As a team. What we can do together as a team. And we see the story of Naaman. Naaman was this great guy in the army. And guess what? But he came down with leprosy. And he had captured a little girl. He had captured a little girl, that's all right, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. He had captured a little girl, a servant girl, to give to his wife. And he came down with leprosy, and God would use what? That servant girl. This team to get Naaman healed would be Naaman, would be the king of Aram, a servant girl, the wife, his wife, and the king of Israel, and the prophet Elijah. A team. Whole team. And so The girl said to her mistress, you know, I know of a prophet, the prophet in Israel. I know of a prophet in Israel who can heal him of leprosy, right? And but you'll have to go. She was obviously a Jew.
And Naaman, you know, Naaman went to his king, and because he had just, you know, fought the army and won, and he went to his king, and the king wrote him a letter. The king wrote him a letter, and to take to the king of Aram, wrote him a letter to give to the king of Israel. The story says, right? And he went and he gave him to the king of Israel the letter, and he told him, yes, there's a prophet, and the prophet was Elisha. Right? The young prophet that came after Elijah. But when Naaman, because he was this big guy, the top guy, top in the army, he thought the prophet should come to him. Right? He wanted the prophet to come to him. And so he went to the prophet. He stood outside and he said, why shouldn't he come out and just say the word and heal me? Why shouldn't he do that? And he got angry. But the girl went back, that servant girl that God would use, went back and said to him, if he had told you to do something great, what he had done, he told him to what? To dip in the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was a little river. And he says, aren't the rivers of wherever they came from, the river, and I forgot the names, Parfor and Amphor, these great rivers, aren't they greater than, you know, if you know the rivers, those are in Mesopotamia. Those are the rivers that they talk about in the Garden of Eden area. He said, should I go dip in this little Jordan River? This little dirty thing? Yet his blessing and his healing was in that river. That's where it is. God will use anyone or anything to bring healing and restoration to your life if you let him. He will do whatever. He'll use any of us. He says, are not Abana and Parfor and the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Right? Aren't they better than? And the girl, she was smart. This little servant girl. She says, but his servant approached him and says, father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when he said to you was to wash and be cleaned? And so what did he do? He finally obeyed his servant girl. You just don't know who God is going to use to bring forth your healing. Don't reject them. Sometimes it's a child who God is going to give a word to for us. You know that. God can speak to a child and give us a word of healing. Right? God can. And so he went, and Elisha told him to go to dip seven times. And I could just imagine he dipped once and he came up and he still had leprosy. He dipped two times and he still had leprosy. Then three times. It took seven times and he came up at the seventh time. I could just see him dipping and dipping. I do not believe he was clean. He was cleansed at the third time. Sometimes we give up too easily with God. Sometimes we don't persevere with the Lord. Sometimes it has to take that we have to go pray to him seven times to get a healing. Because, you know, if he was healed on the first or second time, the story would be different, wouldn't it? It probably wouldn't even have been left for us. Some of us are praying for things for many times, aren't we? And we're still waiting. But on the seventh time he came up and he was cleaned. Do you see the team coming together to bring forth healing? God will use a team, friends, to bring forth our healing. And so Jesus says, as we see these two stories, we see from Old Testament to New Testament, God will use people. When Moses died, there was Joshua, but Joshua walked with Moses for a long time to learn to do God's work. God, Jesus called 12 disciples, didn't he? Because he knew that he would need a what? A team of us to spread the gospel. And this is a great story, this one. He's going to call 70 folks. And what is he going to do with the 70 folks? He's going to do what? Send them out two by two. So me and John are going to be going out into the streets. So you Amen. See? Two by two Amen. To do the work of God. Right? Right? We're going to go two by two because no one is an island. No man or woman is an island. When you want to do something, just by yourself and it's all about you and it's all about you, you got a problem. You know what I'm saying? You got a problem. You need a team. You need someone. And the Bible tells us he sent them out two by two. So when we're going to spread the gospel of Jesus, we need to be able to work with someone else. Right? Right, John? As you and I are going to go two by two to spread the gospel. And he sent them out two by two. And he told them several things. Church, we need to be in the Word so we treat each other better. People fight over all kinds of things in the church. I'm in charge. You're not in charge. I don't want a team. I want to do it by myself. We just got to get rid of our egos. So just a waste of time in the church. Do you know that it's a waste of time in the church? We could do it together. Maybe you could hold the nail and I could hold the hammer. Maybe I could just hand you the hammer because I can't do much. I used to have my team in Carl. I was at my tea on speed dial. I'd be calling him all the time. Because I could not have got a new team member on speed dial. His name is Ron. You know what I'm saying. And I'm not ashamed. They know. I'll call them. I'm not wasting my time trying to do something that I can't think through. I'll call. I'll say, you know what, we need to do A, B, C, D. And that is, I've now got Ron to become a decorator. We work in team for the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, after this, the Lord appointed 7 and he sent them out ahead of him in pairs to every town and place. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Friends, the folks who come to church every Sunday, maybe you could ask the church, what can you do to help? We all give our tithes and offering, don't we? We all expected to give our tithes and offering. That's our vertical relationship between we and God. But there's something we can do. And if the Lord is placing it on your heart that something isn't right, and you keep saying that it ain't right, maybe you could ask the person who's doing it, how can I help? I'm in the church. What can I do for the building up of the kingdom of God? How can I do my part? Maybe the choir is not singing the songs you know, like, or maybe it's not singing the way you like it. Maybe you could join the choir and sing. Or start your own little praise group and sing. Just maybe that's what God is telling you. And he says, go on your way. See, I'm sending you like lambs into the midst of wolves. Friends, when you say yes to serving the Lord, remember that there are wolves out there. Right? There are wolves coming after you. Do you know what the wolves do? The wolves are waiting to criticize and to attack. And you are the lamb, but the Lord will be with you. And then he tells us to carry no purse, no sandals, and greet no one on the road, because he was going to provide for them. But he says, when you enter a house, say, peace, peace be on this house. But if anyone is there who shares in your peace will rest up on them. Remain with them in that house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Right? And many of us are doing God's work for free. Not free. It's free to our church, but it's our gift to the Lord. Right? It's free to the church because we love the church, but it's our gift to the Lord. For we certainly cannot pay Jesus back for dying for us. You know, I do have that Facebook Live program, and it's always saved. It's on Facebook. And I got a text from a young man overseas, because it's boosted and it gets overseas, one of those countries. And I don't know if it's South America, Africa, where it was. And he wrote, he says, what can I do to get Jesus? I saw it this morning. I heard it popped up. What can I do to get Jesus? So I wrote a text, simple text there. You have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. What can I do? And here we are. And he says, what can I do to know Jesus? I think he was in Liberia, one of those. What can I do to know Jesus? I always offer the prayer of salvation at the end of my teaching. I always do. I said, wherever you are, you could accept him as your Lord and Savior. I want to be part of spreading the gospel. I may never know. We may never know. We, because we're here as a church, but we're all here as a team. So I'm using this church for this moment to spread the gospel someplace that I can't reach, because there's a team that keeps this church going, isn't it? Right? We're all part of somebody accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior. When somebody walks in here and they hear the choir sing or the bell play, because and we have put it all together, and somebody can say yes to Jesus, that's what it's about. Somebody's life, as the song said, then my living will not be in vain. Then your living will not be in vain. If somebody could hear a prayer here and have hope in knowing that Jesus Christ is with them. I got a text the other night early in the morning about a young person. It broke my heart, who is not well, still struggling. And I began to pray, and I told another clergy. And early in the morning we were praying. But that family knew that they could text and ask for prayer. Isn't that what we want to be able to do? To serve the Lord. Then our living is not in vain. That's what it is. And Jesus says, when you have told people the gospel, if they do not receive it, what? You shake the dust off your feet and you keep moving. We don't have to beat it over people's head, but we have got to be here to tell them that Jesus loves them. That Jesus cares about them. That Jesus wants us to love each other and wants us to take care of each other. So friends, when you sit in church and sometimes you see something is not working all that right, say a prayer. Amen. And say, Lord, have mercy upon that person who is singing or serving or playing. Have mercy, God. Strengthen them, Lord Jesus. Because they're seeking to serve you. Every person who serves here is seeking to serve Christ. We don't come to be ashamed. We don't want anybody to shame us. We're here to serve Christ. We get up. There are more volunteers here than there are paid people. The last time I checked, right, Carl? We only got a couple, three people we pay in this church. Everybody else is volunteering. If they're getting paid, they need to tell me. Yeah, she's getting paid off nothing. Zero times nothing is still zero. You know, so we are all serving the Lord, and we can do it together. And maybe when something isn't all that right, we could say, how can we help? Jesus said to the disciples as I close, he says, I give you authority to pick up snakes and do all kind of things. He says, nevertheless, my favorite word, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
And that's what we're rejoicing at, that we serve the Lord so that our names are written in heaven. Are you sure this morning that your name is written in heaven? If you're sure, say amen.
Amen.
I'm sure mine is written. I don't know if it's going to be wisdom or newness, but I'm going to find it somehow. All right? But I am sure that my name is written. Maybe the book in heaven now has double names, you know? You know, because people get married and we have all two names and three names. But we're sure, because Jesus Christ died for us, and he says if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. And our names are written. The more I read the Bible, the more I'm sure that our names are written in the book of life. And because we're sure of that, guess what? Then we serve the Lord. Through serving our church. That's what we do. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness. And so friends, if you need to form a team, remember we just have to start with 2 by 2. The Lord is sending us out 2 by 2 to glorify him and to do his work. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.